It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Now it's really getting serious for Goldman Sachs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. The news isn't good for Goldman Sachs this morning. There are reports federal prosecutors in New York have started a criminal investigation of the big investment bank. That word comes just days after Goldman executives were grilled at a congressional hearing. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live now from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
And what do we know about this criminal investigation at this point?
Well, information is just starting to trickle out. This was first reported by the Wall Street Journal. It says the investigation is at a preliminary point. It's being conducted by the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office. And those prosecutors haven't decided yet whether to bring any charges. But if they do want to bring a criminal case against Goldman, they're going to need evidence that Goldman knowingly committed fraud.
Now, we learned just a couple of weeks ago that civil charges had been filed against Goldman by the Securities and Exchange Commission. Does the SEC have anything to do with this investigation, Nancy?
Well, the Journal says the investigation was actually started after a referral from the SEC. Now, in its case, the SEC is accusing Goldman of defrauding investors. Goldman is accused in that case of setting up an investment fund with help from a hedge fund and not telling clients the hedge fund was betting against that investment.
Any response from Goldman to this news of the criminal investigation?
Well, a Goldman spokesman told the AP that, quote, given the recent focus on the firm, we're not surprised by the report of an inquiry. Now, the spokesman says Goldman will cooperate fully.
Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington, thank you.
You're welcome.
Asian stocks advanced today, reversing a string of losses. European shares are mixed at this hour. London's FTSE down just a fraction, but Frankfurt's DAX is up nearly 0.2%. The price of a barrel of oil hit almost $86 today. It's been rising for three straight months. The Dow will be looking to continue its upward trend. It rose another 122 points yesterday to 11,167. In January, the Supreme Court ruled corporations could spend freely on election ads. Well, yesterday, lawmakers in Congress introduced legislation to counter that decision. It would force companies, unions, and interest groups to publicly put their name on ad spending. From Washington, Marketplace's Brett Neely has more.
If the bill passes, trade groups like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce would have to name their top donors in political advertising. That's one reason why New York Senator Charles Schumer introduced the bill.
I think that lots of these ads, the people who put them forward are happy to do it if they can do it in the dark of night. But once sunlight occurs, they shrivel up and don't do them. So I think there'll be many fewer of them.
The bill would also bar government contractors and bailout recipients and U.S. subsidiaries of foreign firms from campaign-related expenditures. Lawyer Ted Olson, who successfully argued the Citizens United case, represents the Chamber of Commerce and says the bill goes too far.
What Congress is trying to do here is to restrict the dissemination of ideas about candidates for public office.
Even if the bill passes, and that will be tough in an election year, its constitutionality is expected to be challenged in court. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard. Vanguarding is an investment philosophy designed to help individuals reach their financial goals. Vanguard.com. And by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Once upon a time, there was something called the World's Fair. And those events used to be a very big deal. The X-ray machine and the ice cream cone both made their debut at the 1904 World's Fair in St. Louis. People got their first look at television at the New York World's Fair in 1934. In recent years, those big international expositions have become less of a showcase. But China is hoping to change that. Shanghai spent an estimated $58 billion getting ready for its 2010 World Expo, which is more than Beijing spent preparing for the Olympics. In a few hours, our China bureau chief, Scott Tong, will be there as it begins. Hey, Scott.
Hello, Bob.
Let me fiddle uncomfortably with my tie here and note that I've heard this expo called the Rodney Dangerfield of world news. Nobody gives it any respect at all. Is there something different this time around?
Well, here I've heard it also called the six-month-long trade show. So there are people in Shanghai dissing it, too. But talk to the companies and the countries that are participating, and this is the trade show that cannot be missed because this is China, the great emerging market of our time, the chance to show your face to the Chinese government, to show your face to 100 million Chinese customers. You know, as one person put it to me, in Imperial China, the outsiders came to pay tribute to the emperor. And now they come to pay tribute to China Inc.
Okay, so set the scene. What's this going to be like? Is it a big expo hall or what?
Well, it's a giant outdoor thing. It's kind of the county fair in an oversized way and an amusement park, and everything looks huge and futuristic. Every country has this pavilion. The British pavilion is the talk of the town. It's this earthy, funky structure with these protruding needles coming out. And part of the wow factor, they say, is to lure Chinese executives to come and gawk and then talk business in the VIP area.
So it sounds like this is an investment for these countries. What about corporations, corporate presence?
Well, multinational companies. General Motors has its own corporate pavilion. So does Coca-Cola and Cisco. Other countries sponsor their country pavilions. The U.S. pavilion actually is funded mostly by companies. And I spoke to Evelyn Kalik over at the Australian pavilion about the companies helping to foot the bill for them.
And for them, we're adding a little bit of icing to the cake. Corporate sponsors can invite their own VIPs, and they get VIP treatment with fine Australian foods and wine, fine Australian chefs, world famous.
And so, Bob, this is kind of corporate suite writ large, catering to the captains of industry in China and to the foreigners who want to do business with them.
Marketplace's Scott Tong in Shanghai. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob.
And finally, keep it down, will you? The city that never sleeps is trying to get a little peace and quiet. Every day, a parade of double-decker buses rolls through the city with tourists, and while they might be interested in hearing about who is or isn't buried in Grant's tomb, seems residents are not, so the city council has responded to complaints about the noise and voted to require the buses to be equipped with headphones within the next 5 years. Tour bus companies say it'll be costly and that they're being singled out when, hey, New York City is just a noisy town. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.